Coming up on the show today, we give thanks and we say thanks, and we talk about different ways you can do that in digital ways to those wonderful volunteers who help serve in the church and the school. Lots of ways to do that. All that and more coming up on the next episode of the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is your host, Martin Spriggs. This is episode 211 for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2011. How about that, Sally? I got the episode number right.
Yeah, we might keep you. How about that?
That takes many years, many years of practice.
Not that we
are bringing our A game every time we have one of these podcasts, but we certainly do pray that we provide something of value. And we are in Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving, Sally.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Martin. And Thanksgiving week gives us the opportunity to step back and think about the many, many things that we're thankful for. And we're thankful especially for our Wells Tech listeners.
Yep,
and
that's one
the
thing.
Community that's grown up around Wells Tech. We have some new listeners to include in our feedback this week, so that's always exciting.
Without listeners, we'd just be talking to each other and actually recording. That doesn't serve much of a purpose.
Strange.
Even though I enjoy and I give thanks for you and your friendship and your podcasting skills, but it really is the listeners that make the show. And one thing that congregations and schools need to be thankful for, and I know they are, is their volunteers. And that's really the subject of this show in this Thanksgiving season. How do you, not only say thanks to God for your volunteers, and obviously that's pretty straightforward, but how do you say thanks to those volunteers and keep them engaged? And there are many ways to do that, and we'll be focusing on some of the digital ways, some of the technological ways that we can say just thanks to those people who serve us and their Lord through activities in the church or school.
Yep, a great season to reflect on that, and probably one of the most common ways that we can say digital thanks is with the use of e-cards.
Mm-hmm. That came to mind right away.
I just was listening to something. It was kind of a parody radio show, and they were saying that the post office was going to come up with e-cards that take 3 days to deliver or something like that, so just kind of a joke. But
real life flavor, yes.
Exactly. you don't have to wait 3 days, though, for e-cards to get to your recipients. You can wake up one morning and think, oh, I should have sent a card today, and it can get to their inbox almost instantly, so that's nice.
Perfect for procrastinators.
There you go. And, I don't know about you, Martin, but I really enjoy the thought that someone went to the trouble of putting together an e-card for me. They're always a lot of fun. There's all kinds of variety of e-cards. And you can also schedule them in advance. So if you're the kind of person who likes to go into an e-card site and set up several and have them delivered on the appropriate day, you can do that as well.
Some of these sites are very sophisticated now. You can essentially craft the whole experience where you can obviously do the design, you can edit or augment the design, you can pick music, you can customize the message, and like you say, you can schedule it. Another thing that I like about some of these e-card sites is you can maintain a contact list. So if there's people that you want to send cards to on a regular basis, and now we're talking about volunteers, and some of those same volunteers are back for more at different seasons or throughout the year, it's easy just to keep them in that contact list and remember them that way. And just all kinds of different services out there. Some are paid. I've paid for some of these in the past where you get some premium type features, but others are freer than free. They're just out there and they want you to use them, and they kind of pay for the experience or pay for the service through some advertising. So obviously you want to pay attention to that, but essentially they're doing the same thing. They're sending an email with a link, and then that person clicks on the link and ultimately views your message in the e-card format.
And we have several of these to share with you. So check out our show notes page at wellstech.wells.net for a list of many e-card sites. And some of them were new to me, Martin, specifically Christian e-card sites, including the Lutherans Online site done by Thrivent, and Dayspring e-cards, which is a subsidiary of Hallmark, I believe, but very well done Christian cards. And then two other Christian sites, CrossCards and Crosswalk.com.
Very similar.
Both have
right?
free e-cards.
You were going to say.
And then the biggies on the list, the traditional greeting card companies, Hallmark and American Greetings, have e-card offerings as well.
Right. Obviously, another way to say thank you is with some kind of gift, and because we're focusing on the digital side of things, digital gifts. And just like e-cards, these are great for procrastinators because you can give a gift very easily with the click of a button and, you know, a credit card. And there's all kinds of these kinds of things as well. One that I use quite often is giftcertificates.com, where you can pick the denomination. So, you know, is it a $15, $10, $20 card? You can say it goes to a particular restaurant or whatever. You can also give what's called a super certificate, where the recipient can use that and order whatever kind of gift card they want, whatever available from giftcertificates.com. So that's one of my favorites, but there's other ways to do that as well.
Right. You could go to specific sites and give gifts on those sites. There's premium memberships all across the web for sites like Audible or Flickr, so that they have the upgraded premium versions of those websites. Or you could give specific gift certificates like iTunes or Amazon so that they can spend money on those sites. And boy, Amazon.com, it's just about like giving a gift certificate.com. You can find just about everything there.
Right,
so.
Exactly. One that's not on the list that we mentioned in that you mentioned in our show prep was Picnic. You could actually get a premium membership for Picnic, which is great for church office staff, the ability to do that, or just for home stuff, you know, editing photos.
Right. One of my favorite image editing Web 2.0 tools, for sure. Yep. And I have a premium membership there. It's about $25 a year and opens up a lot more possibilities with the website and things you can do there.
One that's popular with the kids, so to speak, is game credits. You can find these on the shelves at Walgreens, but you can also do these online. Facebook credits, Xbox credits, and Nintendo Wii Channel credits, those kinds of things are all easy to give. And if you've got some volunteers that are working, you know, in the youth group leaders, whatever, these may be appealing to them.
Sure. A different take on digital gifts would be to actually give a digital gift, like a Kindle book, for instance. And I know NPH has this 2011 has been the year for Kindle and Nook to hit the market there with NPH books. And you can get the whole People's Bible series.
Yep.
And exclusive to our Wells Tech podcast today, we have we have a brand new book that NPH is making available just in time for this gifting season. Mm-hmm. It's called The Narrow Lutheran Middle. It's written by Pastor Daniel Deutschlander, and it's available from NPH in print version, but they've also made it available for the Kindle and Nook. And so we'll have those links in the show notes as well.
I'm excited about, we've talked about their People's Bible series in the past, and I'm really excited to get my hands on that. Debbie and I have been reading through the Bible from cover to cover in 1 year. We have a one-year Bible. And we're going to do this again next year, but I think next year we're going to take it a little bit slower and maybe read different sections of the People's Bible. So rather than just, you know, race through it to do it, because it takes, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and then if you miss a day, then you do two or three, whatever. But we're going to take it a little bit slower, I think, next year and use the People's Bible to kind of augment our study and read through that a little bit, too. So I'm looking forward to having that all on one device or on the computer or wherever you can get the Kindle software installed. So very great gift-giving idea and pretty inexpensive, too.
Right, definitely. Another fun gift that's got a digital flair to it is for the mobile set, and it's a mobile app called Postagram, And with it, you can turn any image on your mobile device into a mailed postcard for 99 cents. So they take the image and embed it in a postcard, and then you have room to add text to that postcard, and then they send it off to your true snail mail recipient.
Yep.
It's really fun to get these. It'll work with your Instagram images or just regular images from your camera on your mobile device. And I've done it a couple times. The picture will actually pop out of the postcard. So if they want to just take the picture and save it, they can do that as well. It's a fun little app to make use of and a good way to use those digital photos.
Now, is that the one that's built into the new iOS, or is that just a separate download?
That's a separate app. I'm not familiar with one built into the new
iOS. I thought
that
was one of the big selling point, one of the selling points of the new iOS upgrade, or maybe it was the 4S, but something like that. So cool. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Let's look into it.
Yep. One other thing, Sally, I was thinking of digital ways to say thanks is through social media. And if your church has a Facebook page, if your school has a Facebook page or some other social media like the Table Project that we've talked about in the past or whatever, that is a great way to say thank you because, first of all, you can do it publicly. So you're thanking someone who's doing a great job in the church in a public way. It's kind of like putting it in the church bulletin, which we all do at times. But here you're doing it in a social media way. But it also it allows other people to comment on that thanks and maybe give their thanks. You can include pictures of the event maybe that they were helping with. It also maybe encourages others to join in kind of their social media adoption, so more people to get involved with the Facebook page if they have an opportunity to either receive thanks or give thanks or contribute to somebody who's thanking somebody else. So I think that's a great use for social media in the church.
Great idea, Martin. Maybe I'll have to put a thank you on the Wells Tech social media page on Facebook.
A thank you to our listeners, yes.
Lots of ways to keep up with who to say thanks to and when. Mm-hmm. It's nice to give yourself little reminders, perhaps on a task list or in your calendar, or even on your wallpaper on your computer screen, so that you are keeping that thanks in the forefront. I think it makes a huge difference to your volunteers if you take the time to appreciate the work that they're doing for you.
Yeah, well, just a suggestion is set up a reminder on your calendar or your task system to have a kind of an hour set aside for thank yous. And in that time, remember, I think maybe a good way to kind of do a memory spark for you, so to speak, is to take a look at the church last month's church calendar and see all the activities that were on that calendar, whether it be, VBS that was held or Thank You Jesus or Happy Birthday Jesus party or whatever it was. And those events, looking at those events on the church calendar, may remind you of who was involved with that or responsible for that and just use those. So I think it's a good idea to remind yourself to say thanks because sometimes it slips. Life gets in the way and you get busy, and this is a really important thing, of course.
Obviously. And we want to reference the volunteerspot.com website.
Yeah.
It's a great website for getting ideas for organizing volunteers and that kind of thing. They also have a page dedicated to ways to say thank you, and they've put together a slideshow of A to Z, many different ways to say thank you to your volunteers. And so, Martin, I like the letter D in that list. It talks.
This is like Sesame Street.
Yeah.
You get the letter D. Okay.
D. And they talk about using digital photos. And I think you have to be, active in capturing photos of your volunteers at work. So you have to make that a concerted effort to get photos of them at work in their volunteer roles within the congregation. And then you can use those photos to include in a personal thank you note or perhaps a slideshow, a volunteer recognition event or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great way to use photos.
Yeah, just a real good reason to have that camera always ready at church events and have at least a couple people responsible for snapping photos. You want to capture that. Mine is very similar. I'm going to select the letter P, which stands for photo album. And the recommendation here on volunteerspot.com is to, when long-term volunteers decide to retire, as some do, put together a photo album of portraits they've or of projects they've worked on, and then maybe have people contribute their comments to them. I can think of putting this kind of thing on Flickr and then encouraging people to make comments on the different events. And just a nice little thing that they can take away and recognize that boy, they were appreciated and other people appreciate them, and a little remembrance of what they've done, and could be an encouragement for others. So good stuff.
Great ideas.
Yep.
Definitely.
And then we would obviously be remiss if we didn't obviously mention the reason that we should ultimately be thankful, and that's just showing thanks to God in this season. And believe it or not, there are some digital ways to do that. One very obvious way to do that is to make an online donation, which reminds me that Wells, the Synod, has launched a brand new donation system, new and improved. There's many, many funds that you can and causes that you could donate to, and obviously you can give to your church or school technology fund as well.
Yep, great ideas.
All right, so give thanks in whatever way works for you, but there are many ways in this digital space for you to do that. Let's move on to ministry resources, Sally.
Yeah, we have made mention of this website before, but we want to point people to Jim LePage's Word Bible Designs. And this is just a normal old guy out there who's into creating digital design, mm-hmm. and he's done a design, at least one design, for every book of the Bible. We talked about it back several months ago, where he had done the Old Testament, but now he's completed all the New Testament books as well. And you can order poster-sized copies of the designs, or you can just look at them online on his website. Some of them are kind of edgy and kind of provocative, but yep. a very interesting take on each individual book of the Bible. Want to make sure we include that on our ministry resources.
Yeah, I think an application for this is if you're doing maybe a Bible study on a particular book of the Bible, it might be worth looking at these and seeing if this would be a good way to promote it. I think these are very creative and would, you know, like you said, some of them are a little bit provocative, so you obviously want to pick the ones that are going to work in your particular situation. But I think in general, congregations need to do a better job at promoting some of the good stuff going on behind the doors there and even internally to their members, and these might be a good way to do that. So consider that. But these are nicely done, very creative. I like these.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week is somewhat of a replay because I've talked about this site before. This is Jane Hart's Top Tools for 2011. And Jane Hart's been around a good probably 5 or 6 years doing blogging and things related to technology and education, corporate education, elementary and college education, all different types of tech tools in education. And like I said, about 5 or 6 years ago, she started polling the audience, and she asked all the people that followed her to submit their top 10 tools. What are the most important things that they make use of in an education setting in terms of technology? And she took all of those top 10 lists and compiled them, and the tools that got mentioned the most floated to the top, and those that weren't mentioned as often made up the rest of the list, that kind of thing. Now, over time, she's done that in successive years, and you're able to compare tools and see them rise or fall in the list of top tools that are submitted by mm-hmm. learning professionals all over the world. And so just last week, she came out with her most recent 2011 Top 100 Tools for Learning, and I'm quite impressed with her list, and like I said, it's really fun to see how things have changed over time, that kind of thing. For instance, her number one tool, any guesses, Martin, as to what might be number one
well,
for learning?
Well, I'm looking at the page, Sally.
Oh, so. You can't guess. Okay. Her number one
tool. Is it Twitter?
It is. Wow. The micro-sharing site Twitter, which has been number one for the past 2 years as well. So got to the top and it stayed there. And I think this is because of all of the personal learning networks mm-hmm. and the way people are connecting with educators all around the world and learning so much via their Twitter stream. But 5 years ago, it was number 43 in the list. So it was just getting started at that point.
Yep. These are interesting numbers. I think I really appreciate the kind of the historical nature, so
exactly.
you can see the meteoric rise of some of these or the meteoric fall of some of these mm-hmm. other ones. So like Delicious, for instance.
Yeah, it's way down the list now. Yeah. But rounding out the top five, we have YouTube, Google yeah. Docs, Skype, and WordPress. Mm-hmm. And all of those were pretty much top five or top 10 contenders in last year's list as well. But it's really interesting, and I'm always challenged to find new things on lists like this. What is it that I haven't made use of? Anything jump out for you, Martin, that you haven't used?
I think we've talked about almost everything on this list. Edmodo is not as familiar to me, maybe more to you.
We have talked about it.
Yep, I thought so. Glogster we've talked about. I don't see anything here. Maybe TED Talks is number 30. I don't think we've mentioned that, but
I think we have.
Have we?
Okay. Yep, I do.
Now in the 31 to 65 category, there's obviously some there that we have not talked about.
Yeah, maybe we need to start learning about them.
Yep. Well, that's this again. This is a great list, and maybe we should do something like this in the future. It's helpful to take a look at this and see how things are going.
Great idea.
Good resources. So good pick. I like it.
All right.
My pick is a hardware pick, and it is related to your ability to get on the internet when and where you want. Many of the tools that were on those lists of your pick, Sally, were tools that you really need the internet to access. In fact, all of them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have internet, you're kind of out of luck. And that's kind of the way technology is moving, where we're going to the cloud. So it's important to have access to the cloud at all times, at least for those things that you need those resources. And so if you don't have local Wi-Fi, there are ways to carry your own Wi-Fi with you, mobile hotspots. And I've been using one for a couple of years. I do a lot of presentations around the country, and I can't always count on connectivity being available to me, or if I'm in a hotel room or an airport or whatever. So I carry around a Verizon MiFi, and there's also an AT&T version, and there's others out there. Sprint has one and whatever. But if you do a lot of traveling, or if you're maybe in an area where you're not going to get reliable Wi-Fi at a location, this might be an option for you. And the good news is, while they're relatively expensive, they're going to be more expensive than getting a Time Warner or Charter or Comcast connection, and they also limit the bandwidth. Some locations may find these as their only option. So I did a little bit of research on current pricing. Verizon's device, and this is with the Shopwell's discount, which is available to for the Verizon folks. This is available to all call workers and church workers. The devices are about $50, so that's not super significant. The service is what gets you, and the service is about $50 as well. But through our 22% discount, obviously you can knock a good portion of that off. AT&T's discount is about 25%, and I think their devices run about the same. So for that $30, $35 range a month, you can get, I think that's 4 to 5 gigabytes of up and down bandwidth. I think it's download they measure. And, probably a workable solution for some. Just a good resource if you, again, do traveling or your workflow really needs always on access. So that's my pick. Not anything in particular, just MiFis or personal hotspots in general. They're available from a bunch of different folks. But if you go to AT&T or Verizon, make sure you take advantage of the ShopWells discount. Just go to the ShopWells site.
So I'm looking for that kind of solution just to have on a pay-as-you-go basis so that when we need it, it can kick in for us, maybe when we're traveling or whatever, since we probably wouldn't make use of it on a regular basis. Interestingly, my son's getting ready for his upcoming senior class trip next summer, and we just had a meeting about it last night, and apparently the buses that they charter now have Wi-Fi on the bus.
Cool.
So, man, who could complain about that?
Now, there may be some pay-as-you-go, like with Virgin Mobile or somebody like that. I haven't done that research, but that would come in handy. So you're probably going to pay a little bit of a premium for that, but if you only need it once in a while, that's probably something to look into.
Sure.
Or borrow
Lots
it from
options.
Somebody. Yeah. Let's move on to our of interest section. We've got a couple concerts we want to encourage people to consider either visiting or attending or tuning into.
That's right. Mark these on your calendar, folks. You don't want to miss these because the Christmas season is rapidly approaching, and Martin Luther College and Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary both have beautiful concerts that are always a special treat to attend. And if you can't be there in person, they're both being live streamed. So we'll have links in our show notes. The MLC concert will be on MLC TV, their live streaming channel, accessible through the MLC website. And the Sim concert will actually be broadcast via the Wellstream site. And like I said, links on the show notes to both of those. MLC concert weekend is December 3rd and 4th. They'll do a 7 p.m. Saturday night concert on the 3rd, and then a 4 p.m. Sunday afternoon concert on December 4th. And then the Sim Christmas concert will follow the next weekend with streaming at 3 p.m. on December 11th.
Awesome. So tune into those or visit if you can. I'll be at the seminary one. Really looking forward to that. They do a great job. So, in all of our prep school, both of our prep schools have those too, so you may want to look into when those are available. And I know at least Luther Prep streams them. I'm not sure about Michigan Lutheran Seminaries, and I'm sure our area Lutheran high schools are all doing something too. So, let's move on to community feedback. Sally?
Well, we have lots of feedback to share today, Martin. Starting with Nate Block, who called and emailed us about their use of QR codes. I'm looking for the name of his congregation. It's down in Melbourne, Florida, New Hope Lutheran Church, and how they're using QR codes. So you want to play his recording?
Here we go.
Hi, how you doing? This is Nate Block, the Evangelism and Fellowship Chairman down here at New Hope Lutheran in sunny Melbourne, Florida. Just wanted to hook you guys for maybe a little bit of an idea for one of your podcasts, something that we're starting to have some success with down here for our academy, and we're stemming it into our church work as well. QR codes, QR code implementation. These are the little square 1-inch by 1-inch and larger pixelated boxes that people scan with their smartphones if you're not familiar with it. No cost, no registration, generated by an algorithm by just punching in a series of letters and numbers, preferably a website. You can scan them, punch them into their phone, hit, you know, open browser, and there, your website or anything else you open up. We've had a bunch of great ideas and been implementing them into a lot of our publications and are even looking at, you know, putting them in the backside of our bulletin so people can reference the actual sermon printout at a later time on the website. And I was just listening to your podcast and think it might be something that interests other congregations and really help as an outreach tool to bring people into what we can show them on paper and on the Internet. Talk to you later. Have a good day. Bye.
First of all, thank you, Nate, for listening. Appreciate that. And we definitely will get back to you, maybe even have you on the show to talk about what you're doing with QR codes. Sally, we did talk a little bit about QR codes maybe, I want to say, almost a year ago. But I think they're becoming even more popular, seeing them on billboards and in magazines all over the place.
It was a year ago that we ran a scavenger hunt of QR codes.
That's right. That's right.
For a whole month on the Wells Tech podcast, and it ended with a Christmas giveaway, and that was a lot of fun. And I'm seeing them here on our side at the high school level, where they're making more use of QR codes at Minnesota Valley Lutheran High School and including them in various posters and brochures and programs and things that they're making. So good stuff.
Good.
All right. Next up, we had some contact with NPH. We mentioned earlier in the show that they have a brand new Kindle and Nook version of a book that's recently been published. They also have a new offering for Final Web customers. It's related to their Anytime, Anywhere Bible studies, which are Bible studies that can be put on your website. And they've kind of made it easy for Final Web customers to order with a special order form, and the Bible studies will be activated automatically on your Final Web site. So they've been talking with Final Web and worked out the solution.
That's great.
To ease the installation of those files.
Yeah, that is a little complicated, so they've made that a few clicks, and that's great.
Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to our friends down at Calvary Dallas. That's Pastor John Kelpine and Mr. Jack McCarthy, and they are doing great work on the Calvary website and have recently updated it, which meant that the links on our Wells Tech Wiki to their archived audio and video were out of date. Mm-hmm. And last week we talked about the Wells Tech Wiki, and especially about that online worship section where people can get links to various audio and video resources. Mm-hmm. And now the Calvary Dallas stuff is all up to date, and I encourage you, all our listeners, to go out and look at the Wells Tech Wiki. Make sure your stuff is listed. If it isn't, make an account and get it up to date.
Yep.
We'd love to have you included.
You have the power.
That's right. We heard from Pastor Dan Walters, who's a longtime listener of Wells Tech, and he's recently moved to Two Rivers,
yes,
Wisconsin, a new call for him.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Wisconsin, Dan.
Yeah. And he was asking about syncing Google Calendar out to Outlook. Apparently, in his new congregation, they're big fans of Outlook. He's a big fan of Google Calendar. He wants to make the two work together. And we were able to find some good help resources on that. And apparently, Google has a little utility that you can run to make that synchronization process all seamless for
you. I use it myself. It's called Google Calendar Sync, and I would say most of the time it works.
There's a great review.
That's right. But sometimes I'll get a couple doubles, and for some reasons, recurring events give it a little bit of heartburn. But I think in general, it keeps things pretty well up to date. And that's good because I primarily use Outlook, but I want to be able to share my calendar with family members, whatever. And that makes it more shareable when I put it on Google. So.
All about the versatility of it.
It is, huh? Yep.
And I just mentioned to Pastor Walters that I use the Google Calendar Mobile Sync on my mobile devices, and that's
right.
How I make use of my Google Calendar in a mobile setting. And we'll include links to both the synchronization utility as well as that Mobile Sync website in our show notes.
Very good. Thanks for contributing, Dan.
Quick mention, I got an email this week from the folks at Concordia Technology Solutions, CTS, which is the technology branch of Concordia Publishing House, and they are the authors of the Shepherd Staff software. And there is a brand new version of Shepherd Staff. They're calling it Shepherd Staff 2012, version 7.8. And if you're under the Shepherd Staff umbrella, paying for their support and that kind of thing, you should be seeing a copy of that new software in your mailbox very soon. They detail a few things that are updated about it. I think it's always good to keep up with the software updates as they become available. So I just wanted to make all our listeners aware of that new version.
Yeah, I'm just reading through the enhancements. None of them are earth-shattering, just some cleanup of a few things, make some tools a little bit easier to use. I guess the biggest thing would be a new graphically enhanced analytics dashboard with export capabilities for use in meetings, so you can get that big picture look of your congregational data. So, and this would be free to anybody who has the has their support contract up to date.
Right. Next up, we want to talk about our DIGO links. DIGO is a link sharing website, and we have a Wells Tech group there where you can share with the class, and so we can all be made aware of useful links that would be of interest for ministry settings. And our first link that was shared was from Jason Schmidt out in Omaha, Nebraska. Jason shared a link to the Wikispaces training camp, And Wikispaces is a wiki site primarily used a lot in education settings. And this training camp is a wiki set up to teach your students, if they're new to Wikispaces, how to make use of Wikispaces. So sounds like a great way, maybe a good second semester project for some of the teachers out there, and you want to incorporate this in your planning as you begin to make use of Wikispaces.
Yep, very good.
And then, Martin, I think you shared several links.
Yep, I threw three out there this week. One, many of you have maybe heard about the rising price of hard disks because of the weather issues that they were having in Thailand, which is where a lot of hard drives are manufactured. Hard drive costs are coming up, but that still does not circumvent the need for some of us to add more storage. So this is a good article from Lifehacker that talks about how to get some reasonably priced hard drives and or make better use of free or cheap cloud storage. So if you are in need of more space, this is a great article to read. The second article I tagged was one that gave a quick review on the new Skype feature. You can now Skype to Facebook friends. Microsoft and Facebook are business partners. Therefore, some of the things that Microsoft produces, namely Skype, which they recently purchased, they're better integrating that into the Facebook experience. And this is just another example of that, where now you can Skype to Facebook do these video calls or audio calls, I suppose, too. So this is a nice review of how that works and how you need to get things set up to get all that working. I have not tried it yet, but the article gives you the step-by-step. And then the last article I tagged was also about Skype, how Skype is improving missionary communications. Nice little article about how potentially to use Skype to keep donors regularly updated, to share updates with the entire congregation, encourage members to join, the work of the mission field, et cetera, et cetera. Just a nice little short article, short read from Church Mag, their online blog. So just a couple things for Digo for me.
We must be really cutting edge here on the Wells Tech Podcast, because I remember interviews that we've done with our missionaries talking about
doing
that
exact
thing.
Same thing. Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
So go Wells. Mm-hmm. All right. And then
you had a
round
couple.
Out. Yep. Community feedback. I have a couple of Digo links to share as well. One is to the Vimeo Music Store. Vimeo, we've talked about many times, Martin, is a web-based video hosting site. And then they now have made available over 45,000 tracks that you can use to add music to your videos. So these are going to be royalty-free. Some of them have zero cost, so royalty-free and free via Creative Commons. Mm-hmm. Others do have a cost, and there's a shopping cart capability here on the Vimeo Music Store, so you can purchase those. But the pricing is a couple of bucks, maybe. And then you would have background music that you're not going to get in trouble for to include in videos as you produce those. Mm-hmm. So great resource they put together there. The other link that I shared was to Area Lutheran High Schools Online. Again, something we've talked about, that there's a group of Area Lutheran High School techies that have gone together to form online offerings to Wells High School students. And they kind of had their pilot this fall semester of 2011, and so they've begun to gather some information about how well it's going and how things are stacking up for next semester as well. This semester they had a total of, I believe, 49 different students from across the Synod participating in the online efforts. They offered introduction to programming and web page design, just two courses this semester. In the spring, they're going to be offering astronomy, computer graphics, and game programming. Mm. So sounds like some fun classes that you could tap into. Obviously, for homeschoolers as well, this might be something you want to take advantage of. So
beautiful.
Check out the Area Lutheran High School's online website for all the details.
Great. That does it for our community feedback. Next week, Sally, I'm looking forward to our regularly scheduled classroom technology focus. We'll have Gail Potratz on from New London. And she has done an interview with a teacher from Alabama who's using a product called Schoology, and talk a little bit about their one-to-one computing initiative there. So definitely tune in, especially you teachers, as we talk about classroom technology and how better to leverage that technology. Sally, I think that's going to do it for the show today. Have a very blessed Thanksgiving, and make sure you answer the phone.
Thanks, Martin.
And we will talk to you next week. Our musician, our Wells featured artist this week is Stephen Bautista. His song, You Came to Live in Me, from the album Abandon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. The.